Let's begin. We're up to shir number two on the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha, which of course is the third mitzvah of the Sefer Bereishis here in the Sefer Achinuch. Last week when we began our study of the mitzvah of Gid Hanasha, we discussed a number of interesting topics. Most interestingly perhaps was the question of what happens if you have a Gid Hanasha of an animal which is otherwise not kosher. It's a kosher animal that's treif, or a kosher animal that's a nevela. In Bereishis, Parshas V'yishlach. Chelek Aleph. It has to be Chelek Aleph for the Menachos Venos. Then you turn too fast. Chelek Aleph starts in Bereishis. You just turn too much. No problem. So we discussed the fact that there was an interesting discussion, and there's something called Achshavei, which we discussed from the Achronim and the Rambam, which we're hopefully going to get back to today, about how, even though the Rambam paskins ein begidin venos and tam, thank you, that gidin in general, specifically the gidin asha, are considered to be not having any taste and not like really food. Nevertheless, perhaps by eating it, that it constitutes what's called achshavei, and therefore even not only are you going to be over on gidin asha, but you may even be over on the isser of nevela or trefa. So you can go from zero to two Averis quickly. And that was something interesting we spoke about at the end of Oth Gimel last time. So we're on page Tethvav, top of the left-hand column, Oth Dalim. And the Minchas Chinuch begins by quoting a three-way Machlokas Rishonim, and the basic issue is what's known as a Sholil. A Sholil is a fetus, literally. Yosef, you have the place? Page Tethvav. And Sholil is a fetus, and it refers to what's known as the famous Ben Pakua. So that's pretty much all of tonight's shir is going to be about Ben Pakua, which is a complicated topic. If you've ever learned Chulin or Daf Yomi or you Tzmicha, you may Hichoshchita, you may know Ben Pakua refers to the phenomenon of shechting animal, and when you after you've killed it, you realize that in fact the animal was pregnant, and you have a fetus that's in the animal. The Gemara discusses, and the Halacha discusses, obviously different possibilities. Broadly speaking, there's two. One is that the animal is dead, it died a natural death, or it died because you cut off the life source of the mother. Or the other possibility is you open up the mother and you find a living animal or fetus. And basically, there's a Gzeiras HaKasav, which we're going to see quoted momentarily. There's a Gzeiras HaKasav that animal is kosher, at least in some circumstances, according to some Tanaim. But we paskin, even without its own shechita, the animal midaraisa is for sure kosher, and in most cases, even midarabanan kosher, without its own shechita. It's a Gzeiras HaKasav, which we're going to see quoted, but it's a fascinating phenomenon. If you have an animal that you find a dead fetus, okay, so it died without a shechita, but you had a shechita on the mother, and there's a special halacha that it's kosher. That's weird, but like, sort of weird. But what if you have an animal that turns out it was kolach hadasha, if it was 9 months, and it was totally live? You know, had you waited too long to open up the mother, of course it would have died. But you opened up the mother right away, knowingly or unknowingly, and the animal is saved, and you take the animal out. So we assume, I mean, at least it's quoted, at least it's one opinion in Tanaim, and certainly Midaraisis is true, maybe even Midarabanan. This animal could be 5 years old, working, plowing the fields, and when it dies, however it dies, it'll be kosher. I didn't have a shechita, it doesn't matter, it's a ben pakua. It was in the mother's womb when the mother was shechted, it's kosher. So that's really weird. But that is the halacha, more or less. Without, we're not trying to become experts now in the shechita, but that's the halacha of ben pakua that we're talking about. So the Minchas Chinuch, in his inimitable fashion, is going to be focusing on, for the rest of this column, and we'll turn to the next page as well tonight, what is the status of the Gid Hanasha of a Ben Pakua? There? Do you say, obviously we're dealing with this weird halachic twilight zone. The question is, how weird are we going to push it? Once we've said it doesn't need shechita, and that's obviously a biggie halacha which doesn't apply to it, how far do you go? Would you even say that the Gid Hanasha in that animal is kosher? We're going to get to that at the end of this year. We will get to that. That is a huge and well-known chakira in many achronim. You find in the Sfarim of Rav Shemeshkop, of Rav Chaim, of Rav David Rappaport, who was in Rav Elchanan's yeshiva, the Mikdash David, v'chulei, v'chulei, and we're gonna the Briska Rav has it, Rav Chaim seems to have it, we're gonna try to get to that later in the shiur. But right now we're not discussing Lomdus, I'm just giving you the basic facts. The Rishonim discuss for sure Chelev. What about the forbidden fat? So the mother is going to have the halachas of Chelev. What about for the ben pakua? What about for the fetus? And by extension, the Menchas Chinuch is going to draw out the discussion what's relevant for us. What about the Gid HaNosha? How far do you push this completely twilight zone, sui generis state of the ben pakua that you may even, once you've compromised some halachas, how far do you go? So let's begin with that. And we'll see where that takes us. The Menchas Chinuch is going to begin by charting out three shitos in Rishonim. Take a look. We're on the top of the left-hand column, page Tesvav, Os Dalet. The Im Noheg Gid Hanasha B'Shalil Shnishchata Imo. You shechted the mother, and you found the fetus in the mother's womb. Hine Harav HaMachaber LeKamon. Mitzvah Kuf Mem Zayin, the Sefer HaChinuch himself, Gabi Chelev, regarding the prohibition of forbidden fats, Hei Bishitas HaRambam V'HaRamban, who argue. The Khan, for whatever reason here, when it comes to Gid HaNosha, the Sefer HaChinuch Lo Hiviyam Kual, doesn't quote it at all. So now the Menchas Chinuch himself collects the Shitas. But that Harbe Rishonim, the Shoved Din Gid HaNosha, the Din Chelev. Many Rishonim are going to say, in whichever direction, that whatever halacha is about chelev, presumably it'll be the same halacha about gid hanasha. If you're going to say that even chelev is mutter, let's say even gid hanasha is mutter. If it's like chelev is aser, let's say even gid hanasha is aser. However, das harambam, perak zayinim achalos asurus l'chagimu, the ben tes chai, again, I mentioned to you, there's broadly speaking, even though they do distinguish a little bit between if the baby was fully come to term, or was more premature, broadly speaking, ben ches, 8 months or 9 months, full or premature. But the main distinction, it seems to me, is whether you found the fetus alive or dead. So let's say you find, as the Rambam describes, a ben tes chai, a fully formed, I mean, you know, a matter of days or weeks, this animal would have been born. It's a euphemism. I don't know what it is. It's a euphemism. It means fully formed. You know, it's ready to come out. Right? It's ready to come out. And it's alive. You know? Unbelievable. Avdinitar bishkitatimo. Again, it's a wild thing. I mean, it looks like a fully formed animal, and you're going to say mutter does not need its own shkita. Okay, that's halacha, though. That's halacha. But the Rambam says, the Rambam is very conservative. He limits the chiddush.
What is that? I'm sorry, maybe
it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. The Mishnah and Chulin quotes
so
a pasuk.
It's like a leg. It's part of the mother.
So that you, as Hillel was before, are getting into the lumdus of why, and we will get to that. Hold off, okay? It's totally normal to be curious about how this works, but let's hold off. We don't know yet enough to be curious, okay? Before we know enough, we'll be saying things that don't make any sense. So let's take it one step at a time, but he was on the right track, as are you. But let's go slow. So the Rambam says that even though the child, this fetus, again, it doesn't look like a fetus or a little baby, it looks like a fully formed animal. Nevertheless, does not its mutter with it, the mother's shechita. Mikol makom chelbo kechelev behema gemura v'chayavan alekaris. But the Rambam is very machmir. He says it does not have any extra heter for chelev. The chelev is shechita has got a weird halacha. But nothing else. The forbidden fats are chelev. V'chein pasuk v'perches halacha aleph the noheg b'sholol din gid. The Rambam is also machmir across the board. The Rambam says our mitzvah gid hanosha also applies to this baby animal. Uladato ein tolui. One second. The uladato ein tolui din chelev the gid. According to the Rambam, you have three halachos. Again, everyone, let's make sure we're on the right track, on the same page. There's three halachos. One is, does the animal need shechita? Number two is the animal's chelev aser? Number three is the animal's gid hanasha aser? Right? For a typical animal, you go to Wasserman and Lemberger, you go to whatever, the other butchers, You assume if you eat a kosher, if you take a piece of flesh home, you're assuming that all three things were taken care of. Number one, it was shafted properly. Number two, the forbidden fats were removed. And number three, the genusha was removed. Right? That's what we usually require. So now we have this ben pakua. We know for sure at least one out of three is unique. It didn't need its own shechita. The question is, how far do you push the envelope? What about issues two and three? So the Rambam shita is that only halacha one is unique, it doesn't need a shechita, but halachas two and three are standard. Halachas of chelel apply, halachas of gir hanasha apply as well. Ayin barav hamagid, fine. Das haRamban, on the other hand, Ramban is going to argue in the other extreme. Ramban holds the chelvo v'gido shel shalil, when it comes to both chelev and gir hanasha of the fetus, Kamosha nitarim shar ha'ivarim ishchitasayim. Nitarim gam chelbo v'gido. Just like you can eat the pulka, and you can eat the thigh, and you can eat the breast, and you can eat everything else straight without shchita, so too, everything else, it's ginanosha, and it's chelev, everything is mutter. In other words, you have this halachic twilight zone situation where we suspend all of these normal halachos of kashrus and don't apply them to ben pakua. Now, it's worth noting that the Gemara darshans from a different pasuk that everyone agrees that the halachos of dam, that you have to salt the animal and get rid of its blood, that does apply to the gid anasha. So, at least one normal halacha to the ben pakua, to this fetus. That, at least one normal halacha we have. But we have for sure one halacha which is not normal, that's the basic halacha of shlita. And now the question is these other two halachos in the middle. And so far we've seen two extreme positions. Rambam who says everything else is usher, and Ramban says that no, you know, once we're going, let's go. Everything is mutter. And then says the Minchas Chinuch, yeah, I'm sorry.
Ramban, you would have to say that only one gir hanasha in the package would be usher.
I'm sorry.
That's,
I didn't get what you said.
Right. According to the Ramban, you would say that once you shech that animal, the mother, then that the only thing that's usher is one gid anasha in that package.
The mother's gid anasha.
Right.
Correct. And the mother's chelev also usher.
So the other gid anasha is not really a gid anasha.
That's the question.
That's the way you...
You're already analyzing it. Again, everyone's... I don't know. Maybe. But lamaisa is, you know, let's not be fancy. I want to know, can I eat it? I always wanted to eat a hind quarter. You know, I can't go to Ruth's Chris. But now I can eat it. Just find a ben pakua according to Ramban, and you can eat it. Yeah, and a ben chaleb, I'm sure it's delicious too. Doesn't the kosher fats are delicious? I assume the treif fats are even more delicious. You know, okay, that's the Ramban versus the Ramban. Comes along, the Minchas Chinuch and says there's a third shita. There's the middle of the road, the compromise shita. V'das Tosfos v'Rashba. Tosfos and the Rashba take a middle position. They split the decision. It's like boxing, you know? We have a split decision. We had one for him. That's a split decision. Says the Ramban and Tosfos, says the Tosfos and Rashba, Chelbo Mutter, V'Gido Aser. The chelev is mutter, but gid hanasha is aser. Kedas the Rambam.
Are those
both kares under
normal conditions?
Is gid hanasha? No.
Chelev.
Yes, absolutely.
What about even something that wasn't shechted properly or transplanted?
Not kares. Just a lot. I ain't the Rav HaMagid and the Beis Yosef who quote all this stuff and the Pri Chodosh and the Kresi Yoplesi and that says Minchas Chinuch as he loves to do. I'm not going to get into all the details because those other Sfarim did, and you know you don't need me to repeat what they did. So before we see the next stage, which is going to be a chiddush of the Kresi Uplesi, let's just make sure we have everything set here on the board. We have three shitas. Okay, I'll put the Rambam. He's our rightest candidate. He's the most modern. Then we have the Tosfos and the Rashba. And then we have the Ramban. Now, what do they say? There's two issues. There's two separate issues in each case, right? We have Git Hanasha, we have Chalev. Git Hanasha, Chalev. So, according to the Rambam, they're both usser. They're both usser. According to the Ramban, they're both mutter. And according to Tosfos and the Rashba, it's a split decision. Chalev is mutter. Git Hanasha is usser. Right? So, and of course, above and beyond all of this, of course, is Shechita, which is the premise that you don't need the Shechita, that's the whole premise of Ben Pakua. Okay? These are the three Shechitas. So now, if we're set with that, we're ready to see a Chiddush of the Kreis Yuplesi. The Kreis Yuplesi is a Sefer, a brilliant, brilliant Sefer, that was written by Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz. So Eibschitz, of course, was the famous disputant with Rav Yaakov Emden over Shabbosai Tzvi, and he was the big lochem against, he was the one Rav Yaakov Emden tortured, because Rav Yaakov Emden was convinced that he was a Sabbatian. Anyway, that's just a historical footnote, but he was a great, great, great genius, wrote numerous Sefer Halacha, most famously is his Kreis Yuplesi. So he says the following, take a look at the next paragraph. Ayin Shom B'Kreis Yuplesi, Shekosov tam nochon l'shitas hasovrim techelev nitar b'shchitas se'im af b'kol chadoshov v'gido aser v'ein nitar b'shchitas se'im. Now, generally speaking, in life and in halacha, what's the more difficult shita to understand or defend or advocate for? No. A middle, a compromise position. In other words, the two extremes, whatever the logic is, it's simpler. A yes and a no is much more complicated. Just think of marketing. It's much more complicated to sell than it is to say either yes or no. The yes and no is much more complicated. It's also is true in halacha. In other words, even just off the top of our heads, according to the Rambam, we could understand, listen, there's a special gzeiras hakosuv that tells me I don't need to have shechita. But that's itself a crazy chiddush. And l'chabal chidusha, we're not going to start expanding the chiddush. If I don't have any reason to assume that the chalev or the gid anasha is asur, of course I'm going to assume it's asur. That makes sense to me. And the Ramban also, I can make the exact opposite argument. Once I see the Torah game exact hakosuv doesn't even need shechita, obviously I'm dealing with some separate new outer space halacha. So this animal is considered, you know, a quasi who knows what. So maybe throw out, you know, unless I have a halacha, a pasuk that tells me the blood is usher, but if I don't have that pasuk, I should assume that it's all mutter. I can hear that too. But what's the svara to distinguish? That's more complicated. That's what Rav Yonasan Eibschitz is going to come try to explain. Why do Tosfos and Rashba split the decision? Okay? So he's going to give an explanation which is very ingenious, and I think if we'll think about it, it will be difficult, and I don't really have an answer. I'll be happy to hear one if any of you know, which really relates to what we studied last week. But before we even get to that, let's just see what he says. So he tries to explain the following. Why do you want to have this split decision? Cave in the ha de mutter. So now he starts explaining. Fifth line. Cave in the ha de mutter kakol b'shchita seim. The fact that the actual animal becomes mutter based on the mother shchita. How do we know that? Where did it all come from? You asked before. I told you it's a pasuk. Yafin in the Gemara and Chul in the Mishnah tells us daf samach tes mikol bebehema tochelu. There's a pasuk. It's a well-known pasuk which is redundant. Talks about the animal you can eat, and then it adds mikol bebehema tochelu a second time with the extra and. Not only does the whole phrase seem to be repeated, but now you have the extra base bebehema. And the Gemara Darshan is referring to an animal that's within another animal, an animal that's v'behema, that's within another animal. That's the Ben Pakua, which is mutter without its own shechita. I ain't the Ran there. Shekosav, al kain kor'o motzi es damo. But even though the animal is mutter without shechita, you do have to get rid of its blood. You do have to salt it and get rid of its blood. The eino bichlal bibehema tochelu, because the blood is not included in the heter. Now you might have said again, especially like the Ramban, once you don't need the Shechita, maybe we should be all in and say everything's mutter. Why is the blood, according to the Ramban, even the one exception which is Asr? So you could have speculated any one of a number of theoretical reasons, but the Ran himself gives the following answer. The Ran says, you know why? Because what was the pasuk that's the source of the heter for shechita? Quote, bebehema tochelo, in an animal you will eat it. So building block number one of the Kresi Uplesi is explanation for the Ran about blood. You know why blood is usher? According to everyone, it doesn't get included in the heter. Because the heter is very technical. The pasuk talks about eating the meat. We don't eat blood. In theory, if you were a vampire, you'd be drinking blood. It's a shtia. It's a drink. It's not a food. And therefore, the Ran understands it's a quirk. It's a technicality. Even though logically it should have been mutter. Everything's mutter. It doesn't even need shchita. The hema tochelu, not something that is shtia. Or for our purposes, the more important point you see from the Ran is it has to be a midi de achila, something that is included in achila. That is a special halacha that it's mutter without shchita.
About blood.
And then also
Osochlu.
Don't say
Lo Shasu. I guess that's interesting.
So,
but it is.
The Pasuk is considered an Achilah.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know. It's a fair point. I'm not sure. I don't know. I didn't think about that. It's a good point. So let's continue. That's step number one. Step number two, he continues. Imkein Lefiyam of Vur B'Psachim. B'Shitas Chizkiv Rabbi Avohu. Okay, leave aside it's complicated enough without the extra names. They're not important for our purposes. Leman de sphira lay ain begidin beno sein tam. Lo amrinan kishahutra nevela hi vechelba vegida hutra. What's the case there? We saw this last week. In general, we want to know a shaila, what is the status of not the meat, flesh of an animal, but the sinews, whatever the technical explanation for a sinew is, Gidanasha being one of them, but only an example. So there's a major, major machlokas in various places in Shas. Do we assume that they have taste, yesh begidin b'nosentam, or ain begidin b'nosentam? That is further refined to be a debate about whether they have the status of meat, or, as others put it, ke'etz ba'amah. As if they're wood. Now, ordinarily, wood is mutter. But Kiranasha, according to that approach, is an exception. Logically, it should have been mutter. It doesn't even have any taste. Kamash Malan, it's usser. What's a typical nafka mina? The classic nafka mina is, let's say I took a hindquarter, I had not done the nikur, I had not removed the Kiranasha, and I cooked it. Now, the animal, the meat beyond whatever has to be removed, is kosher. It's a regular kosher meat. But it needed to have X amount removed, the nikur, the siyak removed, and whatever's touching it. I don't know, I'm not an expert in how you would even do that. But whatever it needs, the shaila is usually, if I have treif, if I have chalev that's attached to my kosher meat, and I cook it, I'm in hot water, no pun intended. Why? Because by cooking it, we assume that that is a catalyst to spread the taste of the chalev. So now you have taste of chalev spread out, diffused throughout the meat, and depending on if you're going to have sheets, you're going to get whole bottle issues, but notwithstanding the ability to mevatel it, it's going to be to trafe up the whole thing. So shaila is, would cooking an animal with its gidanesha still in it, would that trafe up the rest of the animal or not? So nafkamina. If you assume yesh begidin venosin tam, it's like any other trafe part of the meat, so then it could affect it. If you assume that it doesn't, it's not part of the thing, then it wouldn't. So now, back to the Minchas Chinuch. So, skip for a second. And again, here you see also, he points out that in the Gemara, also, ironically, again, we have this same idea of the Ran, that depending on whether you say Yesh Begidin or Ein Begidin Veno Saint Tam, is whether you consider, it will be dependent, whether you consider the Gidin something that's Achila or not. So leave aside Hillel's point about the dam, but I think it's a good point. I just don't have an answer for you. But that was the hop. Now we're on the skip. The skip is, once we have this idea that ben pakua only applies to achila, proof number one, the exclusion of dam, Hillel's point notwithstanding, now we're skipping to number two, step number two, which is what's relevant for us, which is gira nosha. And we see from the Gemara in Psachim, says the Minchas Chinuch, that whether you consider gir hanosha achilu or not depends on if you say yesh or ein begidin v'nosein tam. So now we've done the hop and we've done the skip, says the Minchas Chinuch. I mean, he's quoting the Crazy Aplasi, I guess, more precisely. Says the Crazy Aplasi, we're now ready to pull it in. We're ready for the hop, skip, and now the jump. What's the conclusion? He ties it all together. Im kein, therefore, now, like we've seen by Ben Pakua, that the heter is based on achila. V'zelav achila hu l'may dekaim l'anem begin nos and tam. And since we paskin, and the Rambam paskins, and we assume the halacha ain begin v'nos and tam, we view it not as meat, but as wood ba'alma. Therefore, if it's not achila, then it's not included in the heter of v'behema tochelu. Akein lo ehutra gira anoshe, mitam ze, begido osir. Says the Tos, he says, that pshat. That's why both the Rambam for sure holds the gid is osir, and the Rashba, and the Tos says, even though the whole chelev is mutter, but they're going to agree with the Rambam that gid is osir. Because unlike chelev, which is definitely delicious and yummy, and has lots of taste, and is certainly part of the animal, it's just an osir part of the animal, whether this is considered edible or even busser or food or not is itself a debate. But since we paskin it's not, it's ki'ilu eitz ba'alma, therefore it's not part of anything that's considered edible. And the heter of Ben Pakua is based on the pasuk of bebehema tochelu, it needs to be something edible. So ironically, it gets caught in this technicality. The whole heter for Ben Pakua to be matar with ashchita is based on bebehema tochelu, anything you're eating in an animal that was shechted is mutter. But you don't. It's not. Doesn't count as eating a giranosha because it's not edible. It's still osur because of the special pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. But it's not going to have the heter ben pakua, and that explains both the Rashba and the Rambam. Now, what would the Ramban say? I don't know. He doesn't explain that. Either the Ramban would hold, and I don't know the answer to this question. What is the Ramban shita generally? Maybe he holds yesh begin of anotin tam. Then that would be easy. Or maybe he, even if he holds Ain, maybe he disagrees with the Crazy Uplacy's whole Cheshman. I don't know. But that is the Crazy Uplacy's Chiddush. Before I ask you one question on that, which I don't have an answer for anyway, I feel bad, but just a shame limud to ask you a question, especially since that ties to last week's year. Before that, let me just make sure, any questions you have, I want to make sure you understand this. If not, we'll review it. Yes?
Well, it depends on defining Tom. Right? According to Tosfos and Rashba, you're saying they can't eat the gid because there's no tam. According to the other, you postulate the Ramban.
I'm not sure what the explanation is. Could be that he holds yesh begin v'no sen tam. It says it does have taste. It therefore is considered part of the animal. And if it's part of the animal, then it gets matir, just like the rest of the animal got matir with the shechita of the mother.
So maybe you can make Tosfos and Rashba happy if somebody somewhere says tam doesn't mean taste. Tam means you can eat it. What if my grandmother makes kosher soup that tastes bad? I mean, what does taste mean?
Again, so that's why I said, the yesh begin or ain begin or and tam, it's true, we are asking, does it have a taste? But that's not the real question. The real question, Rosh Hashanah, the real question is it considered part of the meat, basar, or not?
Strange to say that a part of the thing that runs right through the flesh, that innervates all the muscles neurologically, and we don't eat it because it doesn't taste good.
No, it's not that that's not why we don't eat it.
It has no taste.
But that's not why whether that's true or not, that's not why we don't eat it. We don't eat it because the pasuk says not to eat it. The question is, do we assume that it has taste such that, again, I agree with you, maybe it's a slightly confusing terminology, but the money issue, the question we're asking is, could it be oser other things? Does it have the toxic potency to oser other things like chelev can, like treif can? That is a machlokas. We have in the paskin, it doesn't. It's osur horribly in its own right, but it's like this isolated type of virus that can't infect anything else. It's not infectious. So paradoxically, since it's not infectious, it doesn't get included in the heter of Ben Pakua. Ben Pakua, it's like an antibody, you know? An antibody will only neutralize something that's already problematic. Something that was ever problematic won't be affected by the antibody. So ben pakua neutralizes things which are usur, but or have taste. This doesn't have taste, therefore it's not considered edible. Therefore, it's not going to, ironically, it's not going to be heter.
If you and Yom Kippur eat a pill, that's bitter, right? Are you going to tell me you didn't eat anything?
Anachanami, who said yes? If you could swallow a pill without any water, we'll get forget issues of water. It's probably heter gomer on Yom Kippur.
Not considered nechiva.
I don't think so.
Anything that goes in the mouth is heter nechiva.
We'll hold off on that. But pashtus, not at all. Certainly for medicine, the answer presumably is not. It's the same shaila by Pesach. What you just asked, Hillel, is the essential question by Pesach. The whole machlokas about the Pesach medicines or not. So those who are machmir assume, especially in those cases where there's any kind of taste. But even if there's even totally bitter, what's the difference? Chametz is asher b'mashu, so even if it's a minuscule amount of chametz in the medicine, doesn't matter, chametz is asher b'mashu, how can you eat the medicine? And the mekilim say no. The mekilim say it's inedible. I ate it, so what? I'm sick, but it doesn't make it food. It's inedible. And the bitter is an issue, because even the mekilim are machmir, or at least much more nervous, you have something that's coated with something sweet tasting, or that's why even the machmirim, even the mekilim, excuse me, are machmir much more on liquid medicines, because there's a flavor that makes them edible. It's the pills which are bitter. I mean, if you've ever, happens, semi-regularly to all of us, I guess, you're about to take even Advil, let alone something else, and you drop it, and it gets a little wet. So, if you don't care, you just throw it out and you take a new pill. But especially if you're limited on the pills, you may take it anyway. And if you've ever had this happen to you, once the pill gets any little bit of water and it starts, degrading a little bit, and you put it on your tongue, and you can then you can taste it, and it's horribly bitter. Just a typical pill, horribly bitter. While they're completely dry, then whatever they do chemically, you don't taste anything. But they really are horribly bitter. Those pills.
So when you're equating ambigidim for a double passion for the reason that if you're ambigidim at the same time, that is considered that you do not do an achiva.
That's what the Christian place says, exactly. So I want to leave you with one question, which is that last week we saw that the Rambam, again, it's not the Rashi and the Ramban, but still, the Rambam held that if you ate an animal that would be kosher, a cow, but it turns out when you shechted it by the frumest shechet in the world, went to the mikveh 7 times and was wearing a gartel and etc., he did everything perfect. Only one problem, you opened up the animal and you see that it was a trefa. It had some kind of a defect. It was going to die. It was days away, weeks away from dying on its own. I think the Rambam says 70 things that could make an animal a trefa. I'm not remotely. I'm not even not an expert. I'm not an amoris in the topic. I don't know anything about it. But whatever it is, that's the halakha of trefas. You found it's a trefa. And you ate the gihanosha of a trefa. So we saw last week, the Rambam held you were violated two averis. You ate Giranosha. Giranosha applies to a treif. And you ate treif. So the Achronim asked the Kasha on the Rambam, Mela, you're over on Giranosha. That's the Pasuk in Chumash. But why should we be over on the treif? If Giranosha itself, and that's all he ate, I didn't eat any of the extra meat. I just ate the Giranosha. But the Rambam himself is the chief of the opinion that holds Ein Begidim and Rosentam, it's like wood. So wood is not usher in treifa. Treifa is usher in treifa. Wood may be usher in Giranosha, that's a special gezeres hakosov. But how could the Rambam himself hold that he's violating treifa if he holds ein begidim no ten tam? If there's no tam isser, how were you over? And there were various versions of the answer, but basically most of the Achronim, the Shara Melech, and others held achshevei, which is related to the Pesach question you asked, or the medicine question. Achshev, do we have an idea in halacha that even a food that is objectively for the normal person, inedible, but a person who has a quirk, and for him he loves it, he wants to eat it, that's called achshevei. For him, he's given it chashivas, he's given it importance and it can count. So according to the Rambam, the fact that the guy's eating it, true, objectively it may be nothing, but by eating it, that counts as a maisa achila. Because if it wasn't even a maisa achila, how could it be over on Giranosha? The answer is, even according to the Rambam, these Achronim say that the Giranosha has no taste objectively, and that's why it won't be, it's a bekula, because it won't make anything else unkosher if you cooked it together. But if you went ahead and ate the Gid, Hanosha, that is considered a Maisa Achila Midin Achshavei, and therefore you're also over on good treifa, right? That's what we saw last week. So it really dovetails with what Hillel was saying. I was just waiting for now to point it out. But Hillel, you said to me, yes, you see in the crazy place, that if you hold them, give them at the same time, it's not an achila. My kasha to you is, but didn't we see from the achronim last week that that's not so simple? That, at least according to Sharon Melech and others, no, by you eating it, it's achshavei, it makes it into an achila. If it makes it into achila for what we saw last week, shouldn't it make it into achila for this? So again, the answer is maybe that was in the Rambam, maybe the Rashi doesn't hold that whole Torah of Ashrei. I don't know. We're just pointing out that the last two things that we saw, the last thing we saw last week and the first thing we're seeing this week, they run a little bit against each other.
Well, the first case you said, the guy, he makes it chashiva, the thing he wants to eat it.
So here also, I ate it.
The pill,
I'm not talking about the pill. The pill was a separate issue. And that, which is why, since you mentioned it, that's the mekilim when it comes to medicines in general, not just... There's only four
it's
people. Yes, okay. As am I.
All right.
Rabbi Rambam, I know. The first time I met you, it was like, you know, hi, I'm Eli Lassen. I eat medicine on Pesach. It's September, Eli. What are you talking about? Anyway, you gave me a tape. I don't remember. You think I forget? Anyway, the Mekilim, but it's not just Pesach. Because summer machmir on Pesach, but the truth is it's all year round. Trace medicine. This comes up semi-regularly. Trace medicine. So we try, if we can, to get kosher versions or kosher derivatives. But push comes to shove. Someone has a medicine which they need, and there's no kosher version. I don't know of any posek who would be machmer. We're usually making. Why don't you say, because it's inedible. But why don't you say achshavei and make it also if he's putting the pill in his mouth? So there's a yesod with many, many achronim that support it, that when you buy medicines, you don't say achshavei. Food, you'd say achshavei. A molded, rotten thing which is inedible. But I'm a meshugana. I like this, and I ate it. That could be achshavei. But medicines, it's not that I'm saying it's food. What I'm saying is that I care about my health. I'd eat weeds. I'd eat dirt if that made me better. It's not saying that I'm machshavei into food because I ate it. Many, many achronim hold that cool in general by medicines. And those who are mekel on Pesach, say it's even true on Pesach. Why should you arbitrarily make a distinction? And those who are machmir are either they're machmir all year round, or more likely they're just machmir because they're nervous about Pesach. Whatever, that's the simple explanation. Anyway, that's the message. Okay, now let's turn the page and do one more thing. We got about 10 minutes left. Let's do one more thing, since we're gaining our confidence and our footing, and we're becoming experts in Gidanosha and in Hulin and in Kajim. So let's try to do one more thing over here. Take a look at Oshei. Again, our friend, now our friend, he should be everyone's friend. Rabbi Yonatan Ipshitz, the crazy you place. Oshei. I ain't crazy you place the Shekosov. The Afla, and now we're going to get to what Hillel asked me in the beginning of this year, which is the whole Lomdus of Ben Pakua. Afla Rambam, Shechelev Shel Ben Tess, Eino Nitar Bishchita Seim, right? What does the Rambam hold? Chelev is Aser, just because you can eat the animal because of the mother Shechita. Doesn't mean you can eat the chaylev. Chaylev is still usher. V'chayv al chelbo, and if you did eat the chaylev, you'd be over. V'kamokom zedachko chelbo shaya oz b'shashchita. Kumtois comes along the crazy placey and says, you know what? That's only referring to those fats that were present at the moment that you killed the mother and plucked out that baby from the womb. And you looked at the animal and you saw the chaylev. That fat, you want to ask a shayla, the Rambam says is asur. Ki ha-chelev hazeh, chelev gomeru, it's real chelev. Rak deniter b'shchita, the animal is mutter in shchita, just like the mother was mutter from its actual shchita. Rambam sovereign, lo niter ha-chelev b'shchita saying, but that doesn't matir the chelev, just like it doesn't matir the mother's chelev. Aval says the Rambam, im nishchita ha'eim, in a case of ben pakua yishchita the mother, came the alkal panim moda ha'Rambam, the guf ha'ben pakua niter b'shchita se'eim, v'have kishochut, Hillel, note the key words, v'have kishochut, which I don't know for sure if that's in the Rambam's lashon or not, I don't remember, but it's really in the Minchas Kiddush lashon, that by we say that in general, the basic halacha ben pakua, that the mother's baby does not need its own shchita. Why? Because the shechita of the mother counts for it. It's as if it's shachut. Therefore, says the Kreisiu Pleiti, im kein hachelev shegadol acharkach mishiyotzol haavir olam, kevon de shor shachat lefanecha en a chelav shegidal achar kach nesar. Lav chelav shor chayu kevon de hukashachat b'chelav agidal achar kach b'badei en a chelav ela ochel. Now, I don't know how much of this is really discernible or even possible in the real world. It might be, I just said, I'm an artist in this kind of stuff. But to the extent that it's at least theoretically possible, it's really, really cool, and we're back into Twilight Zone. Right? So the whole idea of Penpakua and of Shchita, wow, that's wild. So he said the Rambam of all Shchitas is the most limited. He's saying, you know what, we got a crazy Heter no Shchita, but everything else is going to be as normal as possible. Comes along the Gracious Lacey and says, well, within this Chelev Aser, there's really two types of Chelev. There's the Chelev at the time of Shchita. You take the baby out of the mother's womb, and you take a look at it, and, you know, I wouldn't know what I'm looking at, but someone who knows what they're looking for sees the chelev. Says the Rambam, get rid of it, it's usher, you can't eat it. But now, again, Twilight Zone, but if you're prepared, so we're in the Twilight Zone. Let's say this was a fully formed 8-9 month old, or whatever, fully formed animal, and it's alive. Right? It wasn't dead. It was alive. If it was dead, you would have thought it's a nevela, kmashmon is kosher, and bakua. But it's not even adarava. It's not dead. It's alive. So instead of killing it right then and there in some other form, and then eating it, which would be mutter, you say, heck, let me get some more, I'll get a few years on the farm out of it, and then I'll kill it. Then I'll eat it. And as it grows, and it's getting strong, and, you know, lay of the lamb is becoming, She's maturing before our very eyes. She's not the little girl we once knew. She's big and she's strong. And I guess, like everything else in her that's growing, again, I don't know what this is true scientifically or not, but the crazy place is assuming that just like her muscles and everything else is growing, the chelev is growing too. And now there's new chelev that was not present at the moment of its laid of its birth, but it's growing, you know, in the last year or two. Come, right, then we have the new chelev. New is defined as anything post-mother's shchita. Okay? Says the Kresi Uplesi, what's usher, according to the Rambam, who says Chelev usher? Only this. And Echadami, this is usher. That's what the Rambam meant. Finally, he said usher, he meant this. This is usher. But this is kosher. Why, you'll tell me. So it's a variation of dead man walking. In other words, says the crazy placey, once we matir this animal and we take it out of the mother's womb, we look at it as a busser shachot. It's walking around, it's breathing, it's my daughter's best friend. It's working in my field. But we look at it as busser shachot. Busser shachot is, in chelev, are non sequiturs. Chelev applies to a live animal. This animal is halachically ki'ilu, already dead. It doesn't even need shchita. And therefore he says any future chelev is not chelev in some halachic sense. It's just more meat for you to eat.
Is this on the Doraisa level?
100%, yeah.
Right, but on the Darabanan level?
I don't know who said. I don't know. It sounds like he holds a totally mutter. Sounds like, I don't know, but it sounds like he holds a totally mutter. That's what the crazy place he says.
So it's already shafted.
Exactly. One second. And that's the crazy place. See? That's a good point also. I didn't think about that. Venera as the Minchas Chinuch, the Gamlinian Giradinze. Now, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means. Does it grow? I guess as the animal gets bigger, it grows. I don't know. Nor would I know how one would know what was what. I don't know. But at least theoretically and conceptually, he makes this point. So I just want to point out, we have 5 minutes left. I want to point out that it's meduyuk. Again, I didn't check inside to see what is the crazy place he was in the chasinuch, but it's meduyuk in the lumdus here of the crazy place he. And I think whether the Rambam says it exactly the way they're quoting it or it's other Rambams, but I think this is consistent with the way the Achronim generally learn the Rambam. But as Hillel anticipated the beginning of this year, for this issue now, we really are holding, we have brought out the big classical chashira that's discussed by all the achronim about Ben Pakuah. And we have this Xeris HaKosuv and this little fetus of whatever month, and whether it's alive or dead, that we say does not need shechita because you shechted the mother and it's Xeris HaKosuv, the baby in the mother's womb is the mutter. What does that mean? And there are two, l'chora, there are two possibilities. One possibility is that the heter of the mother applies to the baby, the fetus, whatever you want to call it. A second, if you will, I would call it maybe more ambitious formulation and understanding is the shechita of the mother makes it as if the ben pakuah, the fetus itself, was shechted. Either the blood, I is still breathing. But halachically, the shechita of the mother counts as a shechita for the baby, which is what Hillel was saying, I think, at the beginning of the shir. I think in that lashon that the Minchas Chinuch is quoting, either his own or the Kreis Yoplaisi's, that's Maduik, that the Minchas Chinuch, Kreis Yoplaisi, was holding which side? The second side. And this is a big discussion which has a number of general nafgaminas. I'll give you as an example. The Gemara, I think it's in Temura, discusses the following shaila. Again, a wild kind of a case, but being the shir has been wild, we might as well finish on a wild note as well. But again, it's perhaps unlikely, certainly not relevant, unfortunately, to us without a Beis HaMikdash, but again, it brings out the issue. In Kachin, one has the ability to be Mekadesh the Vlad. You have a pregnant animal, you own the animal. You could say, I am Makdish, this fetus, when it's born, I'm Makdish the Vlad to the Beis HaMikdash. So already as a Vlad, already as a fetus, it can have the status of Kedusha. When it's born, you'll have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. The opposite is also true. You could be Makdish an animal, if I'm not mistaken. That does not necessarily have to include the Vlad. Or let's say it's already pregnant, and you explicitly said, I'm Makdish the mother, but not the baby. That would also work. So now, let's say you have either one of these scenarios. Which one do you want to do first? Take your pick.
Makdish the mother without.
You Makdish the mother, but the baby is good. So now, let's say you brought the animal to the Beis HaMikdash and you shechted the mother. What's the problem? Perfect. There's one problem. You're not allowed, there's an iser to shech chulin in the Beis HaMikdash. Non-hektish can't be shechted in the Beis HaMikdash. Were you in violation of shechita chulin in the Beis HaMikdash on the Ben Pakuah?
You mean it didn't survive?
Yeah, or whatever. But
let's say,
to make it easy, good. Let's say it's dead. Easy. Let's say it's dead. Okay? Were you? Is that an Isser of Shechita Chulin? Or the opposite? Let's say you held. You was the opposite. You had the mother was Chulin, but you were Makadesh of the Vlad. And now in your farm in Netanya, you shechted the mother. Is that a violation of Shechutei Chutz? The halacha is that hektish cannot be shecht anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. The opposite. And l'chora, the shaila is going to be the same in both. Do you view the Ben Pakuah as just being mutter, or do you go even further and view it as being actually keshachten, as actually halachically shechted? If you view it as halachically shechted, so in the one case, I mean, you basically be machmir in both. You'd be machmir in the case where you were shechting chulin in the bazara, and be machmir that you were shechting hektish b'chutz. If you held like the first tzad, then it's not just shechted. What are you talking about? What shechted? What knife? What nothing? It's just a special halacha that the animal's heter without shechita. So then, in both of these cases, you would be makel. So to wrap it, so this is discussed in a number of places. There's actually a letter. Rav Salvechik discussed this in his shiurim. It's written up recently, and I saw it tonight for the first time. In the back of the Brisker Rav, the Griz Alevi al Rambam, so in the back there are letters. For whatever reason, they never tell you, in any of the letters, like 10, 15 letters, they never tell you on any of them who was writing to the Brisker Rav. And I think the answer is that it wasn't all the same. I'm not sure who all the letters are from. I know that the assumption is that some of the letters were actually from Rav Salvechik, from Rav Yashivera's nephew. Others were from other people. So one of the letters, there's a Masorah, at least I saw some other Sfarim, that the assumption is that it was a correspondence with Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. who was a great, great genius and a contemporary of his, a Talmud of his father's, of Reb Chaim's, who got stuck during the war years. He was in London. At the end of his life, he came to Eretz Yisrael. So Yecheskel Abramsky, I don't know, but I saw the assumption that that might have been him, has a correspondence with the Brisker Rav, and they argue this very point, that Rav Cheskel Abramsky held that it's the first tzad. It's just mutter like the mother, but not that it's shechted. And that the Brisker Rav, Rav Elbel, and I think he said that his grandfather, I mean his father, I think the assumption was Rav Chaim felt this way as well, based on the Rambam, which works with our Menchachinuch and our Kretzio Plaisi, they held, like what Hillel said before, that it's really as if the baby was shechted. So just to tie it all together, which is really meduik in the Minchas Chinuch itself, or the Crazy Blazy itself, but to tie it all together, logically it would seem, and it seems to be really meduik in the language, that another nafkemina of this question is going to be our Shaila. Do you view, what do we say about these new facts? Are they going to be mutter or usser? So the whole heter, the whole chiddush of the Crazy Blazy was based on an assumption like Hillel, and it seems to be meduik in the Lashon itself, and like the Brisker Rav was saying, that it's the second approach, that it's as if it was really shechted. That if it's really shechted, it's my version of dead man walking. It's already basar shachet. Basar shachet can't grow new nevela. That's grow new chelev. It's too late for that. It's already shechted. You can't have chelev after it's shechted. But if you say no, it just meant that the animal was mutter, just like the mother was mutter. But it doesn't mean that it's dead. Who are we kidding? It's not dead. It's not shechted. Who are we kidding? So then, l'chora, why shouldn't it be able to grow new chelev? Even if I remove the chelev at one point, that's got new chelev. So this chiddush may assume, if it's correct, it really seems to be based on that lamdus. But if we disagree and we have the Rav Cheskel Abramsky, we may reject it as well and assume that even this would be usher. Crazy place in the Minchas Chinuch assume it's mutter. That's because they assume, like the Brisker Rav had said, that if it's really shechted. Okay? Yeshayahu, you get extra bonus points for coming.